begins this Sunday, begins another quarter, and that is to sow faith, to sow faith, which means that the faith that I have must be sown into the hearts of others, that God's faith and the faith that God requires will go from generation to generation. We have invited an outstanding young man in the person of Brother Terry Wallace. He preaches for the Church of Christ in Hernando, Mississippi. He is an excellent, I call him a double talented individual, in the fact that he is not only an excellent preacher, one who has a great depth of wisdom that comes through his preaching, but he's also an excellent singer. And so next Lord's Day, you're going to be doubly blessed. And we pray that God will allow him to be here and to make it safely. But you will be inspired through his song as well as through his message as he speaks to us concerning this second quarter theme, and that is from generation to generation, the sowing of our faith. I have really enjoyed the last quarter, and I have benefited personally, and many of you have expressed how you have also been helped by last quarter's theme. I just think that the whole year is going to be an exceptional year, an unshakable faith rooted in an unmovable God. And so, since I only have about 20 more minutes left, I need to hurry up and get into my message. I want you to turn with me, and everybody looks so pretty, and you know, they call this Easter. The world calls it Easter Sunday, but for us, every Sunday is Easter. But I did wear my pink tie this morning, amen. I did do that, amen. Everybody looks so good, especially the children. This was my favorite Sunday because I got either some new shoes, a new suit, or something, you know. And so it's just good to see all who are here. Luke chapter 22. Verse 54 through 62. It's also April Fool's Day. And so I'd rather you think about Easter than to think about being a fool. All right. Luke 22, 54 through 62. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned, looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I'm going to use for a subject the look that transforms. The look that transforms. There are many ways to look at someone, or for someone to look at you. There is the death look, the smitten look, the bored look, the dumbfounded look, the stalker look, the suggestive look, the surprised look. But the one that stayed etched in my mind was when I was small and my mother looked at me. I was doing something that I should not have been doing. The interpretation of the look was, you know better. Just wait until we get home. Can you imagine how Peter felt when he heard the rooster crow and his eyes met the eyes of Jesus looking at him? I am assured that two things Peter will never forget: the sound of the crowing of the rooster and the penetrating look, the piercing look of Jesus on that day. He'll never forget his eyes. In our narrative, there are three looks: how Peter looked at Peter, how others looked at Peter, and then how Jesus looked at Peter. The objective of this lesson is to say to all of us that the look that Jesus gave Peter was not the look that my mother gave me. The look that Jesus gave Peter was a look that transforms. The look that transforms. When you consider how Peter looked at Peter, Matthew 26, 31, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto them, this is right after the supper, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Watch Peter. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. There's a whole lot of good preaching just right there. But Peter said unto him, listen to him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And then the Bible says, likewise also said all the disciples. Here's the way Peter saw himself. He saw himself as being a leader. He saw himself as being loyal. Saw himself as being reliable. And I also believe that he saw himself as being courageous. For when they were in the garden, And Judas and the company from the high priest came to arrest Jesus. Peter drew his sword and cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. And Jesus had to tell him, "Put up your sword, Peter. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword." And he insisted that what's happening, Peter, must happen. It's God's will that this happen. So he restored the servant's ear. Peter saw himself as courageous, high self-esteem. You can count on me. But may I say to all of us that Peter's look at himself was not the look that transforms. How others looked at Peter, the text says in verse number 56, after Peter found himself in the courtyard of the high priest and Jesus inside being interrogated, Peter having followed afar off coming to this place, the Bible says in verse 55 of Luke chapter 22, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together," Peter sat down, watch this, "among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire." In other words, the maid looked at him. And when the maid looked upon him, she noticed that he didn't really belong in that company. He was out of place. In other words, people look at you. Others always look at us. When you are in the company and in among people, people look you up. They look at you, rather. People usually favor their own kind. And if you're not of their kind, they'll discriminate because you are the out-group. Peter was seen by others as a Galilean. Isn't it strange that we're all stereotyped? All of us are sized up one of another. You know, you checked me out when I came in. You made a determination as to whether that was proper, if it looked all right or not. I checked you out. I saw you had your pink shirt on and your pink socks. I saw that. And I said, I just couldn't help but to look. And I said, "That's a debonair brother there. Amen." I said, "Bold brother." But anyway, you know, we look at each other. We do. And we size up one another. And we make a determination about one another. And unfortunately, out of those three people who said to Peter, said, "Peter, you're one of his disciples." "No, I'm not." Somebody else in the crowd looked. Can you imagine everybody is now focused in on Peter? Peter recognizes that people are watching me. And so he moved his position to try to get out of the purview of the people. But people see you when you don't see them. In other words, the girl had already seen him and the girl had already sized him up, and the others had done the same. But may I say to you that how you look, your complexion, your education, your occupation, your dress, where you live, is not how people. That is the way people usually look at you. I remember one time when I was going to a meeting, and there was another preacher in that area who said that he had never met me, but he had heard about me. And he stood in my comfort zone. He's a little shorter than I am. And I noticed he started at my feet and went all the way up and checked everything. And it made me uncomfortable because he didn't do it once. After he got there, then he went right back down. And he said, "So you're Shelton Gibbs." I said, this ever since my mother named me, I think that's who I am. And so people do that. But let me tell you something. Whatever people think, whatever conclusion they come to, that is not the look that transforms. Some may look and judge right. Some people declare that if I can just see you, I can tell everything about you. But I am of the belief that everybody can be mistaken. Amen. That while others see you, that is not the transforming look. So as I conclude my lesson, I want you to work with me for the next 10, 15 minutes concerning the look that transforms. My question is, when Jesus looked at Peter, how did the Lord look at him? I am convinced that he did not look at Peter the way Peter looked at Peter. And I am convinced that he did not look at Peter the way others looked at Peter. For the Bible is right when it talks about how God looks. 1 Samuel 16:7, the Bible said, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not," watch this, "the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." I am convinced that the Lord was not just looking at the outward appearance of Peter and the circumstances. I am convinced that Jesus was looking at his heart. Job understands when he was in the midst of being judged by his so-called friends, he knew that if anybody knew him, he knew that God knew him. In Job 10, verse number 1, he said, "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked?" Watch what he says. "Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquireth after mine iniquity." In other words, God, you don't have to ask about my iniquity. You don't have to search after my sin. You already know me. Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. He understood that God, when God looks, that God looks differently from the way that men look. And he said, if anybody knows who I am, God knows who I am. Why? Because God looks at the heart. God looks inwardly, not on the outward appearance. When Jesus looked at Peter, I am convinced that he looked, first of all, at his motive. What led to this action? What led to this action? What led him to deny me three times? I need to know what his motive was. And so when he looked for motive. I know he denied me, but what were the circumstances surrounding the denial? By looking at both motive and the act, by looking at both the motive and the act, some of us look at the act and make a determination, but Jesus looked at the motive. And the reason motive is important because it tells a lot about Peter's character. It's not so much what Peter has done, but what motivated Peter to do what he did. Some of us made a determination that Peter is crooked, that Peter is wrong, and Peter ought to be ashamed of himself. But that's not the look that transforms. The look that transforms is a look that goes to motive. Some of us would not have made, listen to me, if we had been in the company when the Lord said that he must go to Jerusalem and die, to be honest about it, some of us never would have even spoken up and said, not so, Lord. This won't happen to you. I'll die with you. He saw a man that not only spoke up and said that he would not deny him, but that he would follow him to death. But he also saw a man, ladies and gentlemen, that when the other disciples fled, Peter followed, even though he followed afar off, at least Peter followed him. When he stood in that courtyard, some of us, once we got to the gate, many of us probably would have said, no, I'm not going in there. But Peter went inside, courageous enough to go inside and sit among them. Peter, when that girl said that you're one of them, you knew you were found out. Even though you denied it, you knew that you were one of his disciples. You knew if anybody has common sense, it's time to book. It's time to get out. But Peter didn't leave. He stayed till someone else said, you are one of his disciples. The first, they believe, is a girl. The second was a man. And then he said, yes, you are one of his disciples. And he denied him again. And then the Bible said, the space of a whole hour passed. Here is a man who has been discovered twice by people. And you know by this time they're saying it loud enough for everybody to hear. People are examining this man. They're looking at this man. And so they're saying to themselves, you know. But he stayed a whole hour. Listen. And I just want you to look, because I believe this is what Jesus saw. That he didn't just deny me once. He denied me twice. And then he stayed a whole hour. In the same
company. And it was only after the rooster crowed and Jesus looked at him, did he remember the words of Jesus? Before the rooster crows, you would have denied me three times. It took the look of Jesus to pierce him, to help him to understand that, Peter, you have failed. The way you saw yourself is not right. And the way the others are looking at you, they have sized you up as one of my disciples, and they have sized you up as deserving to die, as they are going to put me to death. They have sized you up as an enemy. They have sized you up as one who is antagonistic against Caesar and against the Jewish nation. But when Jesus looked at him, Jesus looked and saw that the man who said that I will go with you, the man who said that I will die with you, he saw in his heart that his heart was right. His heart was true. When the Lord looks at us, the Lord is not always just looking at what you do. The Lord wants to look at what's behind what you do. Peter did love the Lord. Peter did want to die for the Lord. His problem was he just got weak. And that look was not a look of condemnation. That look was a look to transform him. You and I need to also see that as I close this lesson, that look after Jesus went to Calvary, died, and after he was resurrected from the dead. Are you with me? Early that Sunday morning, here's what he said, go tell his disciples. Mark 16:7. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Here's the point. Jesus saw his motive, saw his heart, saw that Peter truly did love him. And so when the Lord looked upon him, he didn't look upon him at the moment of his weakness, at the moment of his failure. But the Lord looked with the knowledge that after I've completed this mission that God has put me on, that Peter, who is one who denied me, I see how that I can transform him and to make him one of my greatest disciples and greatest apostles. And so when you think in terms of the look of Jesus, his look is a look of restoration. How do I know that? Because of John chapter 21:15. The Bible says after his resurrection. So when they had dined, Jesus said, watch him, to Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Well, he asked Peter, and it disturbed Peter that he would ask him, do you love me more than these? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest. Somebody ought to shout right there. For thou knowest that I love thee. The denials was not just a point where I refused to love you.
It was a point of weakness. And it was a point where I misjudged myself. I thought more of myself than I should. But when you looked at my heart, you knew that my motive was coming out of true love for you. And then he said, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. But why did he ask him a third time? And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. Somebody ought to remind him that they asked him three times when he was in the garden or in the hall of the high priest. And he denied him three times. But on this third time, he said, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest, watch this now. He said, thou knowest what? All things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Here is an individual who understood that the look of God and understood the heart of God is a all-knowing look, an all-piercing look, a look that helps you to understand that God doesn't just look at the act, but God looks at the motive behind the act. And that when God looks upon us, it's not to condemn us, but God's look is to transform us and to make us what we never would have been. May I say to you that God, through Christ, did not criticize Peter. He never gave up on Peter. He knew about his denial long before it happened. He knew what Peter would do. He knew how he would react. But he also knew the kind of man Peter would be afterward. The principle is clear. A bone broken often becomes stronger after it is healed. Something in the healing process actually makes the break point stronger than before. The Lord just knew that if I could just get Peter beyond the resurrection and get Peter where he was able to heal himself from his denial, that Peter would turn around and be one of the greatest spokesmen that God would ever be able to have among his believers and his men of testimony. His guilt was transformed to grace. His shame was transformed to sympathy. Yes, he had been sifted by Satan, but not destroyed by Satan. In the sifting, this is what he lost. He lost his pride. He lost his self-confidence. He lost his rash impulsiveness. He lost his unreliability. But this is what he gained. He gained humility. He gained dependability in his faith in God and not in himself. I'm not going to depend on me. I'm going to depend on God. God was able to give Peter the keys to the kingdom. He opened the doors for the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And then he opened the door for the Gentiles when he went to the house of Cornelius. He has a lasting legacy of hope for every man living today. This lesson tells us about the heart of God. It tells us how you ought to examine yourself and look and see. Oh, I see what you're doing. But you ought to ask yourself, what's your motive behind what you're doing? Can God look inside of you and see that even though you have behaved in a way that does not please him, but in the very midst of your heart, he knows that you love him and that you are dedicated to him. He ought to be able to see that it's coming out of your weakness and not coming out of a heart of disbelief. That's the difference between Judas and Peter. Judas had a bad heart, but Peter had a good heart. Somebody ought to say amen. The love of God is greater than anything that man could ever give. I know I don't love myself like God loves me, and I know you don't love me like God loves me, but I'm glad to know that God loves me in a way that transformed me. He's not looking at where I am, but he's looking at where I will be. Am I right about it? Yes, I did wrong today, but what about tomorrow? What about the future? Let God heal whatever it is, and you'll become stronger in God Almighty. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, if I had time. Oh, I don't have time. All right, but I'm going to quit because I know that that was hope. That was a look of hope. God has hope for the world. God has hope for the world. He loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. That's how God looks upon us. I know you may not like yourself, but God likes you. Am I right about it? Others may not like you, but God loves you, and God can use you in a mighty, mighty way. That's what this so-called Easter is all about. That's what the resurrection is all about. Hope that comes to the world. And it comes from the heart of a God who loves us beyond what we'll ever love ourselves. If you're here this morning, I pray that you'll come. I pray that you'll give your life to this Jesus. Will you do that? You come by hearing this word, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, and confessing him to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. When you come up out of the water grave, he will put you into the only church that you can read about in your Bible, and that's the church of Christ. God is looking at your heart right now. Does he see love? Does he really know that you love him? Is the motive for you being here because you really love God? That's what I left with this in the lesson. This is what I left with. Check my motive. Why are you doing what you're doing, Shelton? If my motive is pure, weakness may come, but if my motive is right, if my motive and my heart is in tune with God, then that will bring about repentance. Godly sorrow bringeth about true godly repentance. Not just sorry that you got caught, but sorry that you hurt God, because that's where the issue is. It's in the heart. Check your heart. Check your heart. Where are you? Do you really love him? Or do you love yourself more than you love God? Do you love money more than God? Check it out. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand. Will you?